Why Should I Love You? By Tavi Gevinson. Welcome to the guided tour of my relationship to taste. I came of age in the 2010s, during which, in my view, pop culture also came of age. Part of growing up is realizing that adults you once looked up to are fallible, and this is when various social movements cast a more critical light on the moral content of art and on artists' behavior. The internet, too, introduced new ways for public figures to disappoint us. Normally, art offers a way to process pain, to forget about the world's cruelty. What do you do when it just reminds you of these things even more? What do you do when, like me, you start working and socializing with artists you once idealized, and so experience intimate disappointments personally? What do I do? I used to define myself by the things I love. I looked to art to tell me how to live. The disappointment scrambled my sense of meaning, made me view so much of culture as pure PR. I'd like to stop feeling as cynical as I do now, to develop a new relationship to taste, meaning that this tour must end up somewhere new, somewhere I've never been. When I was 17, I gave a talk at the Sydney Opera House titled The Importance of Fangirling, in which I argued that documenting one's own fandom was itself an artistic expression. One of my favorite things Rookie ever published was a gallery of photos from over 150 readers showcasing their own bedroom shrines. By teen magazine standards, Rookie was suspicious of the apparatus of celebrity. But when I look back now, I see a lot of artist worship. We wrote them love letters under columns titled Hero Status and Literally the Best Thing Ever. Celebrities gave our readers advice for a video series called Ask a Grown. We called them queens, kings, gods, goddesses, dream BFFs. It wasn't hyperbole to me. This desk is also where I interviewed artists for Rookie over the phone, then transcribed the recordings, their voices floating up to where I slept and dreamed.